Sunday, April 5th, specific and general command, Sunday morning, April 5th. Sunday morning class, we're going to be looking at general and specific commands, and due to a shortage and so of teachers, CL and I will be splitting this one up so that it can get taught. I'll be doing the first 6 weeks, and then CL will be doing the last 6 weeks on it. But we're going to be talking about specific and general commands, expedients and aids, versus additions on that. So hopefully we'll get something out of this and grasp something, because it has to do with how to establish biblical authority on why we do what we do and how we arrive at that. And in using common sense, we can use the things that we use in the world in common sense, and we can apply them over into the spiritual sense and still keep the common sense and the logic and the reasoning, and it works. For some reason, when you get in the religious realm, they tend to set that aside. They'll apply it in everyday life, but they'll tend to set aside the others. So some basis we have to look at first in getting in this, and one is we have to realize that in any language there is various interchange among words to convey and communicate thought to the hearer or reader. That's been in all times. That's been with all writers, with all those that are wishing to communicate, that in a language you've got various interchanges of words. And in that, they are used in various ways to either heighten or lessen emphasis on what the speaker or the writer is trying to convey. And when you think of these words in your mind, and you think about them, it brings forth certain thoughts in your mind that you're familiar with. And it can either be heightened or it can be lessened in how you think about it. So we must realize that there's going to be various interchanges in these, and the Scripture is full of them. And a lot of times we kind of wonder, well, what's the difference between this, that, this, and that? And that's what we're going to look at briefly this morning. This is not going to be an exhaustive study on that. That is something that you can do on your own in looking at it and looking through a concordance and pulling up your words that you want to look at and see how many different words are used in the arrival of how it's translated into one word. In that, you have to bear in mind, again, just as a little refresher course, the Old Testament was wrote in Hebrew or Aramaic. And what you would need in your concordance when you look at it is look in the back that says a Hebrew or Aramaic dictionary. And that is the words that you would use for the Old Testament. The New Testament was Koine Greek. And you would look in your concordance in that dictionary for how the various words are used. Again, you'll see that some of these words are used in different ways. There are families of words where they are synonymous with each other in the conveyance of thought. Okay? Bear that in mind, and we're all familiar with that. There's family of words that when you use them, there's other words that convey the thought, and they are synonymous. Words that are synonymous can express a different shade of meaning or a different level of usage. So therefore, when they're used, they bring different emphasis to our mind when we hear or read the words. And it depends upon what the writer is trying to put the emphasis on or what the speaker is trying to put the emphasis on. Okay? You can easily say, "Would you please stop at the railroad?" Or when you shout at a child to stop, there's difference there because you're trying to convey something, and the emphasis is going to be different. Okay? As one example that we look at and dive into this, just take the word sad used in communication or thought. Just the word sad. What does that bring to your mind? Naturally, that word can be used in many ways to bring about many emphases. You can use unhappy in either speech or writing. Say a person is unhappy. They're sorrowful. When you look at between happy, unhappy, and sorrowful, there is different emphasis there. There's a different degree. Okay, so they're unhappy. What if they're really sorrowful? You can almost picture in your mind the sorrow that they have versus whether they're just unhappy. Downcast, dismal, gloomy. We often say a person was heavy-hearted. Depressed, troubled, melancholy, grieved. Grieved may be a lot more of a degree than melancholy. Okay, so they're just down in the dumps. They're just kind of a little bit sad. Versus one that is grieved, crushed, heartbroken, anguished, grieving, oppressed, despondent, distressed, down in the dumps. You can see all of these can be interchanged and are synonymous with the term he was sad. Okay, there's really not much when you say, okay, Nathan is sad. Well, what comes to your mind when you say Duel is downhearted? He's brokenhearted. You picture something a little bit with more emphasis, but yet it still is synonymous with the sadness. Okay? Another example, the word law. The word law is used in communication and thought. There's more descriptive words to convey the same thought. When you think about a judicial procedure, legal process, precept, a code, constitution, there's criminal law, there's civil law, there's martial law, there's probate law, there's a statute, there's an edict, a decree, an order, an ordinance, a ruling, a regulation, a dictate, a mandate, a commandment, legislation. All these bring about the thought to convey the same thought as law. Okay? When you think of an ordinance, you see it in the paper a lot of times. The city has passed an ordinance. Here it is, blah, 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 blah. You really don't. Okay, so what, you know? Okay, so they passed an ordinance. We read over it real quick. We don't really consider, okay, that's just something they passed. You know, we don't consider it as law. But now when the Congress sets forth a law, makes it a part of the Constitution, or it's an order, whatever, then we put a little bit more thought into that because, well, now that's become law. Okay? So what I'm trying to establish is you can see all the different words that are synonymous with one word that we have with law or with one word we have with sad. And bear in mind that each language does the same thing. The Hebrew language was no different. It also employed various words to convey the same meaning. And oftentimes these words are synonymous with each other, and in the writing they're even found in conjunction with each other. And sometimes that can cause confusion because we automatically see, well, okay, I've got all these words in this passage, so what's the difference? What's the difference? When in actuality, they're synonymous. They're pointing and leaning and meaning to the same thing, but yet again, they're bringing forth a different emphasis to us. Okay? So sometimes we've got to remember they're not different. They're pointing to the same thing, just the same as you can write a sentence about the law, and you can interchange all these words, or you can write a sentence about sad. And we accept that every day. Well, he was unhappy and downcast, and he was heavy-hearted. Well, when you read that, we have no problem with that. We get the idea. Boy, he was really, really sad. Okay, but then sometimes when you get over into the Scripture, into another language that was wrote during that time, then we have trouble with it. And we say, well, now what is this, 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 and this? Okay, they must be different. Not necessarily. Okay? The variations of the words that you have in any writing also deal with their tenses and their character. We all have that in English. Okay? An example of that, you have future tense, you have past tense, you have present tense, you have masculine, you have feminine, and you have neuter. All of those have to do with words and how they're used. A masculine tense, future tense, past tense. We had to learn that in English. Okay? See, saw, seen, however it goes. We had to see all those different tenses, but of course, they're the same characteristic. Okay? So there's variations. When we look at the use of the word conveying a law in scriptures, there are various words used in conjunction with this thought. And when you're dealing, and the reason I'm dealing with this first in my section is because when you look at a general or a specific command or a commandment, you have to know where to go. And you have to know what to look at. Because there's many words that could be used that are synonymous with a command. Can this word in Scripture be telling me this is what I need to do? Can this word also be instructing me on what to do? And so therefore you have to know these to be able to get them all correctly gathered in your mind, to look at them and see the emphasis that's being displayed, what the writer is trying to get across, which ultimately is who? Is who?
The writer.
Ultimately is who?
God.
It's God, Jehovah. Okay? It's the thoughts that Jehovah is trying to get across to you. It's His conveyance that He's trying to tell you, this is what you need to do. This is what I need to do. Yes, it's through people that it's wrote down, inspiration, but yet it's Jehovah that's saying, this is what I'm telling you that you need to do. Okay? So we need to look at all the various thoughts, words, and so forth to get the correct connection with that thought. When you look at a command in the Bible, you have many words. You have statutes, precepts, commandments, charge, ordinance, rights, decree, testimonies, judgment. You've got a lot of these. And the Hebrew language had all these variations. Some of them had past, future, present tense, masculine, feminine. I wrote some of these up here as far as the Hebrew words. And when you look at these, all of these have to do, the first one that you have here is choke, is basically law, ordinance, or statute in how it's used. It's used as a noun and it means a prescription. Now, we're not familiar with that. But when Ray writes out a prescription, what is that? It's what?
It's what he's telling him to do.
Okay, it's what he's telling you to do. It's an order. You do this with specific instructions. It's a prescription. It could be a rule, a law, a regulation. When we think of regulations, what comes to your mind with the Old Testament or the Mosaic Law? What would be regulations? Not so much to do with the worship side, but with the civil part. What is it that would come to your mind with regulations?
They have regulations based upon marriage or their relationship one to another, the relationship with their brethren, the relationship with their spouse.
Even on down to the very essential element of what? Concerning food. What do you have?
Clean and unclean.
Clean and unclean. Those were regulations. This is what you can eat. This is what you can't eat. Okay? Now, is that a command? Is that a law? Okay? But it's a regulation. Okay? When you look at them. If you would turn to Genesis, the 27th chapter. 47th chapter. I'm sorry, excuse me. Genesis 47. The 47th chapter in verse 26. Who has the King James?
I
Bernice, would you read that one?
And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's.
Okay. Yours says he made a what?
He made a law.
A law. New American Standard, have you got that right?
Yeah, it's a statute.
It's a statute. Okay. Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt. Statute, law. Does anyone have anything else different in their translation? Okay, so you see two words here, and there's more when you get to reviewing them and looking at all of them. There's two words here that's translated. One's statute, one's law. But basically, they are what? They're synonymous. Okay, a statute and a law. There's nothing different about one than the other. Okay, it's basically a law, a statute. Okay, Exodus the 12th chapter. Exodus the 12th chapter. Verse 24. Concerning the redemption here, in verse 24, the New American Standard says, "And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever." What does King James have? Okay. Anyone have anything else different?
I have the new. It's got ordinance, but where you say this event, this is this thing.
Says what?
This thing.
Okay. The action that they're going to be doing, you shall observe this event, or this action, or this thing, as an ordinance. So now you've got it used. It's the same word in the Hebrew, but it's translated an ordinance here, when the others we saw as a law or as a statute. Now you have an ordinance. Exodus, the 30th chapter. In verse 21. "So they shall wash their hands and their feet," New American Standard, "that they may not die, and it shall be a perpetual statute for them, for Aaron and his descendants throughout their generations." Have anything else in another translation? They all agree with the same on that? A statute? Okay. Now, what brings to your mind when someone says a law? What comes to your mind first thing when someone says a law?
Command that comes with a penalty if it's violated.
Okay. It's a law. That means what? I've got no option. Right? I've got to do it. Now, what about an ordinance? City of London passed an ordinance that you have to recycle. Do you have to recycle? In man's terminology, you think what?
Option.
It's an option. Well, if I want to, I can. If I don't want to, I can't. So is it an option with God when He says it's an ordinance?
It's a requirement.
Okay, it's a requirement just the same as a law would. What about a statute? We don't use these terms that much anymore in this day and time, do we? Does that bring anything different to emphasis when you think of a statute? There's plenty of laws or statutes on the book, right? What do we do with them? Speed limit, 75 miles an hour. No, 70 miles an hour. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Okay, it's a law. It's a statute. So, it's there to be what? It's there to be broken or obeyed, right? How do we look at it? Okay. But now, when you think of a law or a statute, when the policeman pulls you over for writing you a ticket for breaking the speed limit, breaking the law, does he say, "Well, I pulled you over because you broke an ordinance"?
Or he says, "I pulled you over because you're speeding."
Okay. But do you understand what I'm trying to say here with the difference? They bring different thoughts and different emphasis to your mind, okay? But they're still the same. Okay, it's still a decree, it's a limit, it's a statute, it's a rule, it's a law. The second one there, koka, is a feminine of the first one. That's all it is. It's a feminine tense of this one. Okay, but it's used in different places and translated. It's translated as a statute, an ordinance, a custom, or a regulation. The most significant usage is God's law. And it is more specific in meaning. This one is more specific in meaning than this one, being used in that tense and in the feminine tense of it. Okay? Exodus, the 12th chapter. Exodus, the 12th chapter, and verse 14. Now this day shall be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generation. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Here it uses the term, New American Standard says ordinance. What's King James have? Same thing? Okay, ordinance. Okay. But it's supposed to bring about a more specific usage in that. Okay. When you look at Numbers 19, chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19 and verse 2. This is the statute of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you an unblemished red heifer in which is no defect and on which a yoke has never been placed. Now, uses the word here, statute. What's the other?
Ordinance.
Okay. But what is more special about this? Again, as I said, it's more significance in usage. What is special about this ordinance? What is the outline in this verse?
What the Lord has commanded.
Okay. Which is what?
Specific.
A specific thing. It's still a law, isn't it? It's still a law, a command, a precept, an ordinance, whatever. But this one is more specific. Bernice?
Mine says the ordinance, which makes it specific. I think you read yours as saying a statute.
This is the statute. This is the statute. Okay. It is specific in regards to this particular what? Concerning the red heifer. It's specific. What's it telling you? Well, number one, it's got to be what?
Red.
It's got to be red. Second thing? Huh? Unblemished. What else? Unblemished with no what?
Defect.
No defect. Gee, unblemished defect. They the same? Here's another study for you. Was you going to say something to it? Okay. Unblemished, no defect. What else? Hadn't been used in any work process or anything. Specific. So you see there. Okay. So when you look at the first one, it's just a general word for law. Okay. The second one denotes the law of a particularness concerning either a festival or a ritual or a rite. Okay. When you look at it. Turn to Numbers, the 9th chapter. Numbers, the 9th chapter. And verse 3, when you're looking at the Passover. Okay. Go ahead, Bernice, and do the King James.
In the 14th day of this month, at evening, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it.
Okay. King James has the rites of it concerning the Passover. The rites, R-I-T-E-S, the rites of it. When you think about that, what do you think about? When you think about the rites, not R-I-G-H-T-S, but R-I-T-E-S, when you think about the rites of something, you think about what?
The law. The real
details, specifics.
Okay, when a ceremony goes through, a wedding ceremony, what are the rites of a wedding ceremony?
The words?
No, even before that. What do you have? First you have what? Who comes down?
The bride and groom.
Okay, the groom standing up here. It's a process. You got the groom standing up here. Then you have what coming down?
Flower girls.
The what? Flower girls and the ring bearer, and they're throwing out the things and everything. And then you have the father walking the bride down. You have the music playing, huh? Okay, that's a rite. The ceremony is a rite. Okay. Okay, when you look at it, it's a rite. Now, the New American Standard and others use this word. You shall observe it at its appointed time. You shall observe it according to all its statutes and according to all its ordinances. So when you look at a rite, it could also be used statutes and ordinances. Okay? Because why? What has Jehovah said concerning this? This is how you do it. Not only that, this is exactly how you do it. Was he detailed in the Passover lamb? Very detailed. Is that a rite? All the way down to who they were to have it with, who they weren't have it with. If your family wasn't big enough, you're supposed to get another one. This is what you do with it. This is how you treat the lamb that you're offering. It's a certain way it's to be cooked. There wasn't nothing to be left over. You had a certain rite to it, or a ceremony, or a way. Now today, we would call that what?
Tradition.
And this is what some of the problem with the Pharisees got into, is they kind of extend, well, we got to wash the plates and the cups and everything, and we got to wash it clean. You got to wash your hands before this and that. And they got into a tradition. And they made that tradition a what? A rite or a ceremony. Okay? So you have that in particular festivals and so forth. Okay? On that. You have in these words where they're used together. If you look at Genesis, the 26th chapter. And the reason I'm trying to bring this up is a lot of times when you read it, don't think that they're different things. And sometimes you can say, well, and you can ask, what's the difference between an ordinance and a commandment and a statute? They're basically the same. The emphasis is just trying to bring out a different thought to your mind. Genesis, the 26th chapter. Verse 5, because Abraham obeyed me and kept what?
Charge.
Kept my charge. What else? My commandments. What else? My statutes. What else?
My laws.
You got a lot of these words here. Are they different? What's the difference between an ordinance and a law? What's the difference between a statute and a law? It depends on how it was brought forth and translated. It's just a different word conveying the same thought, that it's a command, a commandment, a statute, a precept, a law, ordinance, whatever. That's what it is. And all these terms are what? Synonymous. That's all it is. Okay? He was happy. He was bubbly. He was overjoyed. He was jumping. He was shouting. He was whatever. All those convey what? Joy. Okay.
Kentucky, under the penal code, which is more than most of our laws are, they're referred to as Kentucky Revised Statutes, KRS. They address the laws of the Commonwealth.
There's revised statutes. They're laws, statutes. Okay. So, I'm trying to establish this. So, when we get in and start looking at specific and general commands, don't just limit it to say, it's got to be a command. It can be a command. It can be a statute. It can be an ordinance. It can be a rite. Whatever it is. And you have to look at all of those in Scripture. You have to look at all of them in order to find out what God really wants. Okay? What He is expecting. You have to take all those in. Okay? Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. The 6th chapter, verse 17. You shall diligently keep. What's it say there? You shall diligently keep what?
Commandments
of your Lord and what?
Testimonies.
And what? 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 Someone else have?
Statutes.
What verse did you say? I'm sorry.
Verse 17. You keep His commandments, His testimonies, His statutes, which He has commanded you. Again, synonymous terms. That's all they are. Okay? In any interpretation, we must gain knowledge of all that is written or said about the subject. We must gather all information regarding the subject in order to have a correct understanding of the subject. Okay? Let me give forth an example here real quick before time ends. Taxation. If I say taxation, what comes to your mind? Well, you don't know unless we define what we're talking about. We must gather all information regarding taxation. How many different are there? Income tax, sales tax, property tax, utility tax, school tax, restaurant tax, you name them all. Do what?
Library
tax. Okay, you could go on forever. But in order to look at, say, about property tax, you would have to get all the laws that would pertain to just that. Okay? And it's the same in Scripture. When we study the word worship, we must gather all information concerning worship and correctly interpret. Okay? Donnie?
Larry, Psalm 119. He starts out verse 1 about talking about the law of the Lord. And all through that chapter, he uses different words to convey that same meaning, whether it's statutes, commandments, the word, judgments, precepts. The list is on and on. That's through that chapter.
It is. And the reason I wanted to establish this first is so that when you get into looking at what is general, specific, the commands of God, you've got to know if it says ordinance, don't let that throw you off. If it says a rite or a ritual, don't let that throw you off. If it says a precept or statute, don't let that throw you off. Okay? It's still a part of a commandment, a command. Just different words used for it.
It's like that verse you just read, verse 17. He gave all those at the end. He says, which I have commanded you.
It's a command. Right. Any other question or comment? Okay. Thank you.